Our scripture text this morning is taken from the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 49 in verse 8. We'll be focusing on the A part. For the redemption of their souls is costly. And to get the context of our scripture, we'll begin in verse 1. Hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall give understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will disclose my dark saying on the harp. Why should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity at my heels surrounds me? Those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their souls is costly, and it shall cease forever, that he should continue to live eternally and not see the pit. Notice that the psalmist calls upon all peoples in verse 1 to consider in what or in whom they're trusting. This timeless message is just as relevant today as it was when it was written on the ancient scroll. That statement could be said of all scripture. The psalmist trusts in God, but the fool trusts in their wealth. For as it is written in another place, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And again, you cannot serve God and mammon, or money. Now, one does not need to have money to love money. Notice who the scripture is addressed to in Psalm 49, verse 2. Both high and low, rich and poor together. There are many rich people who love money, and there are some who don't. Likewise, there are many poor people who love money, and there are some who don't. Just the fact that the poor person doesn't happen to have the money doesn't mean that they love it the less. Doesn't mean that they are not seeking after it as their first priority, that they have placed that endeavor in the place of seeking after Christ in his kingdom, in his righteousness. Case in point, going to speak to you of a particular sin which is representative of many who are poor, who do not have, who love money: gambling, the casino, the state lottery, the office football pools. These things keep a lot of people poor. But many of these folks love money to the extent that they constantly pursue it, and they seek ways to get it that are outside what God has provided for them, outside of God's provision. Now, you're not going to hell on a greased pole because you played the lottery last week. But these things reflect, generally speaking, a lack of trust in God's provision. We're going out to find them on our own accord. It's often been called, like you've heard the term, a sin tax, or the poor tax, right? In the game Monopoly, and I had to look this up when I was preparing for this, because I remember the poor tax, right? We used to laugh because it wasn't a lot of money. And you got the guy making this, you know, expression like, hey, I ain't got it, right? Pay the poor tax of $15. So the guy who's got $15 is getting stuck paying the poor tax. And many times these are the people who subsidize the gambling industry, are those who don't have it, and many are entrapped by it. Many a family has gone without because of the addiction of gambling. This is no more insidious or less insidious than any other addiction. Everything in the world will pass away. All will be useless when we come to the grave. But one thing can be said for sure. For each of us, our souls will be required, and we must give account of what we did with Christ in this life. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. And again, he who believes in him, that is, Christ Jesus, is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now the psalmist also points out, as we had read in our context, the fact that men cannot redeem other men. None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give a ransom for him, in the 7th verse of the 49th Psalm. Mary, Joseph, and all the saints are powerless to help you get to heaven. Your mom and your dad, your husband or your wife, your child cannot redeem your soul. The inverse is also true. Neither can you redeem theirs. Just because you brought them to a particular place, or maybe even a particular confession in life, doesn't mean necessarily that their soul has been redeemed. So do yourself a favor and do them a favor. Call a spade a spade. All too many of us have gone through this experience or have seen others go through this experience where a false conversion takes place. And when we encourage and affirm a false conversion, what are we doing? We're giving somebody else a false hope. If you're not sure, or if there's no evidence in your life or in the life of another, the best thing to do is take heed to the gospel. And if it's in the life of a loved one, to continue to preach the gospel, to make sure that the gospel truth is understood. Because without that, without the gospel truth, we are dead in our sins. D-E-A-D, dead. And dead men can't, not only can't they walk, they can't understand anything else outside the gospel. Only Christ can redeem a soul. We can't redeem the soul of another. Another cannot redeem our soul. In the sermon proper this morning, that was a rather extended introduction, we're going to key on the former part of Psalm chapter 49 and verse 8. For the redemption of their souls is costly. And so we see in this verse that souls need to be redeemed. That it's implicit. That it's obvious. For the redemption of their souls is costly. Every soul must be redeemed. And secondly, the redemption price of a soul is costly. First, souls need to be redeemed. To redeem something is to buy it back, or to recover something by paying a price. You want to redeem the 5-cent deposit, or is it 10 cents? I don't know what it is anymore. I just throw the stuff in the recycling bin. But whatever the thing is, you know, whatever you get, if it, you know, 5 cents, 7 cents, 10 cents, whatever. You want to go ahead and bring that to, I think Stop and Shop still does that, their redemption center, right? You need to bring it to a certain place, and then you receive something in exchange for it. In this case, you'll receive a few bucks or whatever it is. So what we need to do with our souls is we need to bring our case, we need to bring our souls to the divine redemption center, as it were. An imperfect analogy, but an analogy nonetheless. And we bring them to the foot of the cross, the place where Christ is, and we redeem our souls, and Christ gives us something in return freely, our salvation. How is it that souls need to be bought back? What is it that caused souls to be in such a predicament that they need to be brought to the foot of the cross? In a word, sin. Sin separates us from the Creator God, the Holy God. This is why He's holy. He's set apart because there is no sin in Him, and there is much sin in us that needs to be dealt with. We could not fix this problem ourselves, and neither could anybody else. No man could stand in the gap, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are slaves of sin in our natural human estate, serving our human sinful desires. And as we've experienced, sin is a cruel taskmaster indeed. It shows no mercy. Such is the total depravity and total inability of man, apart from the grace of God. Your soul must be redeemed from sin. There you stand, your own righteousness. There stands one beside you, your master, sin. I speak of the case of the unredeemed sinner. Behold, the Son of God has come to offer the cruel master the price of redemption. While we can choose to stay in sin's camp, or you can choose to take the outstretched hand with the nail print in it. Which will you choose? It's as if you're under a death sentence, if one existed in this state. So let's go to Texas. It's as if you're under the death sentence, life without possibility of parole. And so there you stand in the ACI, and someone walks in the door and says, well, come on, let's go. You can go free. Come with me. And the sinner who refuses that gracious offer is like the one who says, not thanks, but no thanks. I'm good here. What a foolish thing to do. We would never consider. Nobody in that prison on death row. Perhaps there might be one or two. But I wouldn't imagine that there would be very many who would say, thanks, but no thanks. I'll stay here and live out my life and await for my death sentence. I was kind of looking forward to that last meal anyway. Might not be so good on the outside, right? No, they would come. They would come and they would receive their freedom, right? But spiritually, why is it that we don't have the sense to do that? We're all in that same boat. I pray that we've all been in that same boat. I pray that I speak in the past tense here. But then you never know. There will always be unbelievers and false professors in our midst. And further, these words go out to other audiences. And so I pray that anyone in the hearing of this message takes this to heart and is able to escape the spiritual death sentence, which is the wages of sin, thereby receiving eternal life, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. A gracious promise. The redemption price, however, was costly. There could be no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. And the blood of one who is sinless was required of our Lord Jesus Christ. Believers are justified or found not guilty before the Lord by His blood. The Christian is reconciled to God, Jesus having made peace through the blood of His cross. The child of God has been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. At such great cost to Himself did God pay the redemption price for your soul. Praise be to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. The precious, infinitely valuable blood of Christ shed for you and for me, in God's own words. Applied to believers, our text for the redemption of their souls is costly, is a true prophetic saying. May your heart overflow with praise and thanksgiving in response, for your God has paid the redemption price for you. And if you sit here redeemed, how much have you to be thankful for this morning? We thank you, Lord, for your gracious offer and provision of salvation. We pray, Lord, that anyone in the hearing of these words who has not made their calling and election sure up until this moment does so this morning. Speaking after this manner, thank you, Lord God, for coming down and making peace with me. I'm tired of being your enemy. It's not working out so good. Lord, show me your way. I put my trust and my faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, on this day and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.